Those of us on the left who live in resistance to a repressive and capitalist-controlled social order don't even have control over how our own movements are depicted in the corporate media. And all too often, stories are told about us or images are made of us that don't reflect our point of view. And it's just one more way that our voices are suppressed or distorted, or one more way that our history ends up being told by others, and often in the service of their own interests. But in Portland, we've been lucky enough to have political activist and photographer Betty Lee as one of our own documentarians. Betty has been capturing images of street actions and protests here locally for 3 decades. If you've ever been to a demonstration in Portland since around 1990, you might have seen her, the short, slight woman behind the camera who is always in the thick of things. And today I'm here with Betty to talk about her camera activism, what she's tried to capture with her images, and how her images have contributed to the local communities in resistance. For the next several months, the Moles are going to post one of Betty's photos every week on the KBOO website, but also on the Old Mole Facebook page, and we'll include reflections from Betty on her photos, and then we'll end up with an online photographic retrospective of 30 years in the streets of Portland through the lens of Betty Lee's camera. So welcome to KBOO and to the Old Mole Variety Hour, Betty.
Thank you, Patsy, for such a wonderful introduction of my work. And I'm very happy to be on the Old Mole Variety Hour because Old Mole has been one of my favorite, if not my most favorite, KBOO program.
Oh, thank you for that endorsement. So Betty, you moved to Portland around 1990, and you've been snapping photos of street protests in Portland ever since then. You captured the protest against the murder of Mulugeta Sira by neo-Nazi skinheads, images of Occupy PDX, the various protests against the first Gulf War and the Shell No, that wonderful and successful blockade of Shell Oil's icebreaker several years back. You captured images of the May Day police riot back in 2000, police riot against peaceful demonstrators. And most recently, you were taking photos of the more than 100 days of Black Lives Matter protests. Also, over the years, you've been a photographer for Portland Indie Media, the Portland Alliance. You've covered various events at the requests of activist organizations. But most of your work, I believe, has been just you showing up. And most of your focus has been on instances of civil disobedience or direct action or strikes and demonstrations. Tell us why you were particularly drawn to photographing those events, those kinds of events.
Wow, that's a pretty detailed history, what I've been doing for the last 30 years. Photography is a visual medium, so it's so much more interesting photographing people in action out in the streets than people sitting around and talking in a meeting in a controlled environment. That's just so much going on out in the streets during protests. It's like an ongoing drama, you know? Like people bring their homemade protest signs, they wear t-shirts with funny messages on them. There are giant puppets, there's theater, there's singing, there's dancing. And so for me, it's just a visual feast. I also think that photography can offer us a visceral experience. That's just an incredible amount of energy and excitement and intensity when hundreds or even thousands of people gather out in the streets in protest.
Tell us what you were trying to capture in your images of people in the streets marching and demonstrating. What, for example, would set your images apart from the images that the corporate media would take?
I think that my approach to photography is very different from the corporate photojournalist because I'm personally involved in the struggle for justice. For me, it's a calling and a commitment. It's not a career. I'm not a professional photojournalist. I don't get paid for what I do. And I'm not going to win any Pulitzer Prizes.
You never know.
So I think what I bring in, which is in, reflected in my images, is a much deeper level of awareness and appreciation of the social and political issues that motivate us to go out into the streets. Also, I don't pretend to be objective. I chose to be on the side of the people over 30 years ago, and I'm not going to change.
I want to talk a little bit about what you think makes a compelling image. And to do that, what I would love for you to do is to describe for us that one image that you took of, they were actually two pro-war demonstrators for the Gulf War, I believe, who were carrying the flags and had their two kids. Could you describe that photo to us and then why you took it the way that you did? It's a very interesting photo.
In answer to your first question, what makes a compelling image? I think a compelling image, it has to carry a visual impact. It has to give you a visceral experience that makes you feel. It has to have emotional intensity. And if the image makes you think and inspires you to take action, then I would say that's a great image. As for your second question about the image that I took at a pro-war rally during the Gulf War in 1991. Ironically, it turned out to be an anti-war image, even though I took it at a pro-war rally. And what it shows are two men carrying two huge American flags that have completely covered their faces. There are also two young boys who are presumably their sons who are probably really bored and they're just goofing off and they've stuck their heads between their father's knees. So I think that this image is successful because it works on many levels. Aesthetically, you know, whenever you see images of American flags, and in this image, they're huge. So they're the main element in the image. American flags have an iconic power, which can evoke so many different emotions. And also aesthetically, you know, that's the juxtaposition between the headless fathers and the headless sons. And symbolically, it shows that nationalism is like a religion in America. It's such a powerful ideology that it obliterates critical and independent thinking. And it's often passed down from fathers to sons. And it compels mostly men to march off to war, to obey orders without question, and to fight and die in endless wars that many of them don't know much about. So for me, I thought that that image really captured a lot of these sort of meaningful issues about patriarchy, about nationalism, and about the use of nationalism to justify endless wars.
Well, it's a very striking image, and I believe it's also obvious in the image that the men are white.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe I should say white nationalism.
Yep, there we go. What are the particular challenges that you faced trying to take photos during a direct action or a demonstration?
Well, street protests are incredibly unpredictable and things can change very quickly. So I gotta react very quickly and take the photograph in a split second, otherwise I'll miss it. And obviously I cannot photograph everything and I cannot be everywhere. So I do miss a lot of shots. I think a lot of times it just comes down to luck, you know, being at the right place at the right time.
I was just gonna say, I think you also sought out where the most intensity was in those demonstrations. You weren't shy.
Well, that was back in the day before I got much older. But you're right. I mean, back in the day, I would often go to the front lines because that's where the action is. But now it's just too risky for me.
Talk a little bit more about how your experience as a street photographer during demonstration has changed over time.
Well, like I mentioned, I'm much older, so I cannot outrun the cops anymore. If I do go to the front lines, I try to be there for as short a time as possible.
Has the nature of the demonstrations changed over time?
Oh, most definitely. I think that dissent and our protests have become increasingly criminalized at the same time that the police have become more and more militarized. And it's really frightening for me to be out at the protests, especially during the Black Lives Matter protests last year, because the police just pounded us, you know, with tear gas and pepper spray and stun grenades and rubber bullets and impact munitions. Many people were seriously injured. And I don't think we should accept that as the new normal, you know, because what it really means is that the state and the police are undermining our First Amendment rights to go out there and protest through intimidation and through, you know, increased risk of injury and arrest. And also, I think it's a backlash against the success of the Black Lives Matter movement last year.
I want to ask you one last question about your photography. I've heard you describe it as doing cultural work. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk a little bit about what that means and why it's important?
Well, I think that the common theme that runs through my work is the power of the people to create real social change. So we are the ones who are making history and creating change. So it's really crucial for us to tell our own stories from our point of view. We really can't rely on the corporate media. They're motivated by their own agenda or the corporate and official narratives. So we really need to control the narrative and be able to articulate what's in our hearts and minds and what we're fighting for and why. And I think that telling our own stories through culture that includes, you know, photography, the visual arts, writings, music, dance, theater, the independent media, all of that is so important. And I really hope that my images are a small contribution.
Oh, I think they have been. And again, as I look through the images, as I've been doing over the past couple of weeks, it's striking to me the continuities over time. Some of the issues that we were fighting against or fighting for 3 decades ago are still with us now.
Yes.
And that a lot of the issues that the demonstrations and the way you photograph them demonstrate the connections between a lot of those issues, that racist murders have a lot to do with wars in Iraq, have a lot to do with Shell oil destroying the environment, that these are all related issues. I think that comes through. And I think they're very inspiring. They help us reflect back on, as a movement, where we've been and kind of take stock of things. And I just would like to say to you, Betty, on behalf of the activist community, I want to thank you for your incredibly generous contribution to documenting our history. We're going to be posting a photo with Betty's reflections on that particular photo every week on our KBOO and Facebook pages. And our listeners can go to the Old Mole Facebook page to view what'll be a growing collection of Betty's photos. You can contact Betty directly at leebetty, that's LEEBETTE, at gmail.com. Betty, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Patsy, for your support.